Thursday of the seventh week of ordinary time. The first reading is Sirach chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Rely not on your wealth. Say not, I have the power. Rely not on your strength in following the desires of your heart. Say not, who can prevail against me? Or, who will subdue me for my deeds? For God will surely exact the punishment. Say not, I have sinned, yet what has befallen me? For the Most High bides his time. Of forgiveness be not overconfident, adding sin upon sin. Say not, great is his mercy. My many sins he will forgive. For mercy and anger alike are with him. Upon the wicked alights his wrath. Delay not your conversion to the Lord. Put it not off from day to day, for suddenly his wrath flames forth. At the time of vengeance, you will be destroyed. Rely not upon deceitful wealth, for it will be no help on the day of wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, Saint Faustina writes in her diary that Jesus told her that his mercy is like an ocean. Indeed, his mercy is infinite. But we have to beware not to hold God in contempt by saying, oh, great is his mercy, to go on sinning. That would be a serious insult. The more we are truly aware of his mercy, the more we should be humble and grateful and avail ourselves of that mercy by repenting right now. This is the message of Sirach today. Not limiting mercy, but admonishing us not to use the truth of mercy as an excuse to go on sinning and thinking, well, God will forgive me anyway. That would be presumptuous. Now let us go to the gospel, which is Mark 9, 41 to 50. Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than to, with two hands, go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it off. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourself, and you will have peace with one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this gospel, Jesus wants to impress very strongly in the minds and hearts of his disciples the seriousness and the consequences of decisions that we make and how they will affect our eternity. He starts by saying, anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, what will happen? He will surely not lose his reward. Just for something so simple, so little, acts of little love daily have a great reward. Now, reward is not the same as compensation. Compensation is giving you something of equal value. God is giving a reward, which means a gift that is purely given out of love of God, simply because we did something so little. Then he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck. Now, that is very, very strong language, because a great millstone, different than the regular small millstones, need a donkey to be able to move them. They were so great. So if you put somebody attached to that and throw them in the water, they will go to the bottom like a rocket immediately. So the Lord is saying, beware causing scandal, causing to sin, or that means to lay an obstacle to the little ones. And the little ones are not just children, but all the weak, the vulnerable, the ones who don't have strong unity with Christ yet and can easily be confused. Woe if we, because of negligence, especially in speech or conduct, cause someone to be led astray or to lose the faith. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 2284 says about scandal. Scandal is an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. He damages virtue and integrity. He may even draw his brother into spiritual death. Scandal is a grave offense if by deed or omission another is deliberately led into a grave offense. Scandal takes on a particular gravity by reason of the authority of those who cause it, or the weakness of those who are scandalized. So that means the more you are formed in your faith, the more that God has brought you into a relationship with him, the more serious it is if you cause any scandal. So this first saying of Jesus is about the damage that we are doing to another person and the consequences on us. The next three sayings consider the effect of scandal on oneself, on ourselves. The Lord says, if your hand causes you to sin, in other words, it's a scandal, cut it off. Obviously, Jesus is not telling us to mutilate ourselves. He's saying this to show the seriousness of sin and calling us to take it so serious that we are totally committed to drive out sin from our lives, temptations, attachments that lead us to sin, so that we can have life, so that we go into the kingdom. Entering into life is parallel to entering into the kingdom of God. And so it's better to detach yourself, to cut off anything that causes sin. Now, what is Gehenna? Gehenna is a place that is right south of Jerusalem where idolatrous Israelites sacrifice their own children to the pagan god of Moloch. You can see that in Jeremiah chapter 7. So later on, that place was desecrated and it became a garbage dump filled with carcasses, with maggots, with burning refuse. And so for the Jews, that was a horrible, most horrible place. And Jesus uses it as an illustration of hell. Now, some people nowadays don't believe that there is hell, but Jesus believes. And what does the catechism say about hell? He says the chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone man can possess the life and happiness for which he was created and for which he longs. Look at the catechism number 1035. So the kingdom is something that we will enter fully only after final judgment. But we begin to enter into a relationship with God, who is the king, and therefore participate in the kingdom already now. So now we have like the first fruits of what will be fully in heaven. So what do we learn? We choose our own destiny. How do we do that? By being open to God's grace and being trusting and obedient and letting the Lord take us in his path. That implies entering into serious battle, and like St. Paul says, I am crucified. In other words, we have to put to death the rebelliousness of the flesh. C.S. Lewis expressed this truth about the fact that we choose our destiny by saying this: there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," or those to whom God says at the end, "Thy will be done." You see, God at the end says to you, "Thy will be done. You chose this way of life. You rejected my love, my path. Well, thy will be done." We pray, therefore, that we take seriously our journey here on earth. Remember that all this is happening as Jesus is taking his disciples in the way to Jerusalem, where he will die on the cross. Finally, we have the sayings about the salt. Everyone will be salted by fire. Everyone. So, salt is a flavor that we acquire as we are tried. And so fire is not only in Gehenna, but everyone suffers on this earth some fire that is salutary, is good for us, because we become able to have more salt in us. And what is the purpose of salt? To preserve and to season. You know, in the temple sacrifices in the Old Testament, it was required that the sacrifices had to be offered with salt. Without salt, everything would get corrupted. So salt is also linked with the understanding of fervor. Don't lose your salt. Don't lose your fervor. Don't lose your desire for God, your fire for God. So even his disciples should expect to endure fire in this life, that will salt them. Now, Jesus also warns that salt can become diluted and lose its flavor. So we Christians are called to be the salt of the earth. But if we become secularized and diluted, then what is the hope for the rest? We are unable to evangelize. This is what we're seeing in some cultures, that Christians are so comfortable, so diluted into the world, that instead of evangelizing the world is evangelizing them. Or not evangelizing, but calling them into the darkness. May the Lord give us the grace to take seriously this admonishment from Jesus Christ.